It's just a short reading, commencing our reading at verse 28. These are, of course, familiar words, I'm sure, to most of us. But over these past days, the Lord, I believe, has spoken to me through these words, laid these words upon my heart. And although they are perhaps familiar to many of you, I do pray that the Lord will take them and bless them again to your heart. Very simply today, I want to preach on the subject, power for the taking. Look at verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's bow just in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's word today. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word to our hearts. And we thank thee, Lord, that each time we open the Bible prayerfully, that you speak to us. And we thank thee, Lord, for your speaking voice. And O God, we pray now as we come to consider these words that we have just read, that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And O God, that you would give us ears to hear, give us hearts to understand. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us a word in season. And O God, that in these days you would send us a breath of revival. O God, how we need it, how our land needs it, how our churches need it, how our families need it. O God, how we need it. But we thank thee, Lord, that there is power for the taking. And we thank thee, Lord, for these wonderful words that we have before us today. And we pray, Lord, that they might come with power to our souls. Bless us now. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Child of God, if there's a day when we need the power of God demonstrated in the Church of Christ, again in Ulster, then it is this day in which we live. As we look around our province, Satan's kingdom seems to be on the ascendancy, while the kingdom of God seems to be on the decline. Indeed, as we view the situation in this land of Ulster, the kingdom of hell seems to be going forward with great strides, while the kingdom of heaven seems to be on the retreat. This, of course, should not be the case. But the truth is, I believe, that somewhere along the line, the Church of Christ in Ulster has lost its power. We have lost our strength. There was a time when the ungodly would have listened to our opinion and taken heed. But sadly, that day has gone. The salt has lost its savour. The church has lost its influence. The saints have lost their strength. And instead of being a force to be reckoned with, the church is weak and feeble and powerless. I believe that you will agree with me when I say that. We need again a breath from heaven. We need revival. We need the Lord to come amongst his people again, his church again. Therefore, it is vital that the church, if it is going to be an effective witness for Christ again in this land of ours, that it regains its power. Thank God there is power available. There is power for the taking. There is strength to be had. And for a few moments, I want to draw your attention to this portion of scripture which I have read at the end of Isaiah chapter 40. As I have said, it is a familiar passage of scripture, I'm sure to most of us, if not all of us. But it is a tremendous passage of scripture. And I pray that, although it may be familiar to us, that the Lord will take it again and burn it in our hearts and in our souls. Because here, in this passage of scripture, we have the answer to Ulster's problem. We have the answer to the church's problem, in Ulster rather. And I pray today that the Lord will write his word upon our hearts and upon our souls. First of all, I want you to consider the problem that faces the church. And of course, this problem faces the church in every generation. And of course, it is the same problem that faces the church today in this 21st century. Look at verse 30. The youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. The problem that faces the people of God, of course, is the problem of fainting and growing weary in the work of God. The truth is, we all grow weary. It is not that we grow weary of the work, but that we grow weary in the work. Spiritual weariness is something that even affects the young Christian. Indeed, our verse emphasizes that. Look at verse 30 again. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But you know, spiritual weariness not only affects the young, but spiritual weariness is something that affects the most godliest of men and the most godliest of women. I think of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. Just turn over to 1 Kings chapter 19 for a moment. In this portion of scripture, of course, Elijah is running away from Jezebel. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he was so weary that he sat down under a juniper tree and wanted to die. Look at verse 4. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Here we have the great Elijah, who had prayed far down from heaven. He had prayed on another occasion, and it had stopped raining for 3 years. He prayed again, and the rain came. So here is a man who was in touch with God, one who walked with the Lord and knew the power of God in his life, and knew the strength of the Lord as he sought to live for the Lord. And yet, in this text of scripture, he is so weary that he was despondent. And all he wanted to do was to die. He thought that his usefulness for God was over. He thought that it was impossible for him to take another step in service for Christ. And the truth is that no matter whether we're young in the faith or old in the faith, or whether we're babes in the faith, or whether we are strong Christians and have been for many years, each and every one of us can get weary in the work of God. Job said in Job 10 verse 1, "My soul is weary of my life." The psalmist said in Psalm 42 verse 6, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me." Child of God, it is not if we will grow weary. It is not we will grow weary. It is not if we will faint. It is that we will faint. It is not if we will feel the heat of the battle. It is that we will feel the heat of the battle. Here is something that will affect the church of God. Here is something that will affect the people of God. Our text in verse 30 here of Isaiah 40 does not say if. Our text says shall. Look at it. The youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. And maybe there's someone here today, a child of God. You love the Lord. and you're weary in the journey, and you're beginning to faint, well, that's natural. I have to say that because it's common to each and every one of us. And let me emphasize it again because it's so important to emphasize it. No matter how spiritual we are, or no matter how spiritual we may think we are, there will be times in our Christian lives when we will be weary, spiritually weary, tired, faint by the wayside. We'll just not feel like going on. And that's the situation that our attention is drawn to here. And it's a fact that affects the Church of Christ in every generation. But take a look with me again at this portion of Scripture, and you will notice, secondly, the promise that encourages the church. Not only the problem that affects the church, but the promise that encourages the church. Look at verse 29. What a tremendous text it is. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Look at verse 31. The Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. What a contrast we have here between verse 30 and verse 29 and verse 31. There's no doubt that there will be days of fainting. There will be days of weariness. That is a fact. But also, our attention here is drawn to this wonderful truth that God promises His people strength for the battle ahead. You see, this is a divine promise from the throne of God. Here the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, promises strength to the weary, power to the faint, and spiritual energy to the weak. God is the giver of spiritual strength and power to His church and to His saints. Look at chapter 41 there in verse 10. We have this emphasized again. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. There's the promise. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. My, what a tremendous text of Scripture that is. What a tremendous text of Scripture. God and God alone is the author of such power and spiritual energy. In Psalm 28 and verse 8, the psalmist said, "The Lord is my strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed." In Psalm 46 verse 1, the psalmist said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." In Psalm 73 and verse 26 it says, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Child of God, have you grown weary? Has your strength failed? Have you fallen by the wayside? Have you fainted spiritually along life's journey? Do you feel like giving in and giving up? Has all hope faded away? There seems to be no more energy within you to go another step. You've been so much discouraged that you just want to lie down and die like Elijah. Well, here is God's promise for us today. Indeed, this is God's promise for His people in every generation. And it's the same in this 21st generation. Thank God we can come, and 21st century, we can come and we can plead this promise as our promise, because the Lord here, of course, is speaking to His people. He giveth power to the faint. Not wonderful. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. In other words, there is strength available. There is power for the taking. This is the promise of God to His redeemed people. We do grow weary. We will faint. But it does not mean that we need to remain in that condition permanently. God promises strength for those who faint and grow weary. in the Christian life. And child of God, it's so important that you and I plead this promise today. That we plead this wonderful promise in our own lives personally. Because if we do not, then we will remain strengthless and we will remain powerless. I wonder, is there someone here this afternoon now, and you're a Christian, you're saved, you love the Lord, but you've been going through a hard time, and the strength has been drained from you. Oh, my friend, here's a word in season for you. And what a tremendous word it is. A word of encouragement. And that's what I want to do today. I want to encourage you. Because, thank God, this word is for the weary. This word is for the faint. This word is for those of God's people who want to give up. Who want to stop walking with God. Would you listen to this word today? I pray that the Lord will write it upon your heart and write it upon your soul. And I pray that even this Lord's day, that you might have your strength renewed, that you might gain power to walk with God. But look with me again at the text. I suppose really this, I'm coming now to the main thrust of the text and the most important aspect of the text. Because not only do we have here a problem that the church faces in every generation, not only do we see here the power that is available, but of course, as you look at the beginning of verse 31, you will notice the pathway that challenges the church. Because it says here, they that wait upon the Lord shall. Now I want you to underline those words. Because those words are the key. In order to have our strength renewed, in order to receive this power that is available, there is a pathway that we must pursue. It is the pathway of prayer. It is the pathway of waiting upon God until He renews our strength. And of course, this is the great challenge to the church in this 21st century. Many would like to bypass the place of prayer to get the blessing. Many would like to bypass the waiting upon God to get the power. But of course, that cannot be. Strength and power cannot be gained any other way but by seeking the face of the Lord, by praying, by waiting upon the Lord around the throne of grace. Child of God, are you powerless? Well, is it because you're not waiting upon the Lord? Are you feeling the heat of the battle? Is it because you've neglected the place of prayer? I want you to notice a number of things here about waiting upon God. I want you to notice that waiting upon God takes time. Takes time. You say to me, well, preacher, how much time? Well, there's only one answer to that question, and it's this: as much time as it takes. In Psalm 25, verse 5, we read these words, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Here we have the psalmist David. And of course there were times in David's life when he felt like not going on. When he felt like giving up. But David had found the secret of regaining his spiritual strength. David had found the secret of regaining his power for the Christian life. And of course it was waiting in prayer. And David of course was a great man of prayer. But David says here, on thee do I wait all the day. Over in Psalm 123 and verse 2, the psalmist said this, Just turn over to this text because it's a wonderful text of scripture in Psalm 123 and verse 2. It says this, underline it in your Bible, behold, as the eyes of servants look on the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. How long do we wait? Until that he have mercy upon us. Until he have mercy upon us. Oh, child of God, this is the same when we pray for anything. We need to pray and wait until the answer is given. Sometimes, indeed oftentimes, we give up. We expect the answer to come there and then. But of course, that is not how God works. Of course, sometimes the Lord can give the answer fairly quickly in his will, but there are other times when we have to wait. Wait. And these texts of scripture are emphasizing the importance of waiting upon the Lord. And of course, waiting takes time. It takes time to pray. It takes time to have your private devotions. It takes time to open the Bible and to read the scriptures and to meditate upon them. It takes time. And the problem today is that many of us, well, we feel we don't have time because there's so much to do. Oh, child of God, if you want power, if you want strength, if you want energy to live the Christian life, then here is the secret. And it's so important, although Isaiah 40 verse 31 is a familiar text to us all, and we could all quote it without even looking it up in the Bible. Yet how many of us wait upon the Lord for this power and for renewed strength? Waiting upon God takes determination as well. You know, I'm reminded of Jacob. Jacob, of course, wrestled with God all night before he knew the blessing of God and before his life was changed forever. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. And in Hosea 12, verse 6, we read these tremendous words. Therefore, turn now to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Here we have again emphasized to us the importance of waiting, being determined to seek the Lord with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds, but also waiting upon God in prayer, of course, will be rewarded. And of course, this is where the promise comes in to effect. We have studied the promise. We have looked at the promise. God will give power to the faint. God will give might to those who need his might. But the secret is waiting. Oh, again, our attention is drawn to the importance of seeking the face of God in prayer. Is it any wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ said that men ought always to pray and not to faint? Of course, it was the same on the day of Pentecost. And we're all familiar with Acts chapter 2. Just turn over to Acts chapter 2 for a moment. We all like to read about the day of Pentecost and the great things that were done and accomplished on the day of Pentecost. And of course, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were gloriously saved. And we long to see men and women saved. We long to see days of revival. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, of course, before the revival came, they were at prayer. They were waiting upon the Lord. Take a look at chapter 1 there for a moment. And verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. You see, they were praying. before the day of Pentecost came. They were waiting upon God before the day of Pentecost came. And you'll notice that they were all there in that upper room seeking the face of the Lord for the power of God to fall. And that's the secret. There can be no power without prayer. There can be no blessing without waiting upon God. And even when it comes to this business of renewing our strength as an individual Christian, oh, I pray that the Lord will teach us afresh the importance of prayer, the importance of seeking the face of God. And this is the challenge to the church. This is the challenge to you and I as individual Christians. How much time do we spend waiting in prayer before God? The church is weak because the church is powerless. But for those who pray and wait and seek the face of God, they shall renew their strength. They shall be great and do exploits for God. Parents, are you fainting because your children are far away from God? Wait upon the Lord. Young people, are you fainting in these days because you have stopped seeking the face of the Lord? Then you need to get back to that place of prayer. And thank God, when we do, the Lord has promised to come amongst His people. That's the wonderful thrust of this portion of Scripture here. You can see the condition that's laid down. There is a condition. There is a condition. And you know, we're good old Calvinists in this church, and we believe in the sovereignty of God. But you know, the truth is that there is a pathway that we have to take if we want the blessing of the Lord. There can be no blessing without prayer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And thank God, the Lord is able to give strength to the faint, and He's able to give strength to the weary. That's what we learn in verse 28. Look at verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. I thank God when we pray and when we come to the place of prayer, we're coming before the mighty God of heaven. And although we might feel faint in ourselves, although we might feel weary in our own hearts, we're coming before one who has an eternal resource of power for His people. And when we come before this mighty God, He has promised that He will revive us and that He will come again and send us His blessing. Oh, I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts and that these words will come with freshness to our souls. You know, child of God, it's one thing to know a portion of Scripture and even to memorize a portion of Scripture. And as I've emphasized, this is a familiar portion of Scripture to each and every one of us. But so often when it's familiar, we can just quote it and we can just read past it without allowing it afresh to bless our hearts and challenge our souls. Here's the answer. Here's the answer to the church's problem. Here's the answer to your problem and my problem. When we come to faint by the wayside, there's no other way of regaining our strength. There's no other way of knowing the power of God in our lives afresh. There's no other way of going on with God but by waiting before Him in prayer. May we wait this week. May we take the time, and if there's someone here and perhaps you've neglected the place of prayer, perhaps you've neglected your private study, perhaps you haven't opened the Bible from this time last week. Oh, listen, child of God. Pray that the Lord will touch your heart afresh And open your Bible again and read the scriptures and meditate upon God's word and cry unto him. Thank God, he has promised. He has promised to renew your strength and give you power. Maybe there's those here today and you're not saved. I know that there are many in Bethel who are not saved. My friend, you need to come and you need to pray the sinner's prayer. If you want your soul to be in heaven when you die, if you want to escape hell when you die, if you want to prepare for the mansions above. You know, I was just thinking over the mission, the folk that have been coming in, many of them hearing the gospel for the first time, coming and listening, drinking in everything you say. And even think of that man who got saved. He never heard the message before. It's all new to him. And yet, there are those in Bethel who come week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, brought up in Protestant homes. And they're still lost and on their way to a Christless eternity. Oh, my friend, I pray that you'll not harden your heart. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and not without remedy. You need to come today and trust the Lord because time for you is running out. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. May you pray the sinner's prayer today. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And may you find cleansing and forgiveness, because thank God there is a promise for all those sinners who call upon Christ for salvation. And that promise is they shall be saved. They shall be saved. May God save your precious soul this day. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the precious, precious word of God. And we pray, Lord, that you would come and, oh God, burn this text afresh in our hearts and in our souls. Oh God, we confess, Lord, oftentimes we grow weary in the Christian walk. Oftentimes we go weary, Lord, not of the work, but in the work. But Lord, we thank thee that there's a place where we can come to in order to renew our strength. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come to the throne of grace. And there we can wait upon the Lord. O God, we thank thee. There we can call upon the Lord. And there the Lord has promised to renew our strength and to give us power to live the Christian life and power to go on with God. O, we thank thee and we praise thee, O God, for each head bowed in your presence. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless each one here today and bless each family represented. Lord, we pray not only, Lord, that you would revive us, your people, and send us a breath from heaven and quicken us again, Lord, in these days, that we might be an effective witness for thee and used of thee in these latter times. But, O God, we pray for those in our congregation who are still strangers to grace and to God, that even this day they will come and call upon thee for redemption and for eternal salvation. We thank thee, Lord, that there is mercy with the Lord. How we thank thee and how we praise thee that we're still in the day of grace. And Lord, you're still able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee through the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we just pray that you would move by your gracious Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen.